Hello, my name is Nicholas Parsons. And as the minute waltz fades away, once more it is my pleasure not only to welcome our listeners, but to welcome the four talented players who this week are going to play this game. And we welcome two seasoned broadcasters of today's comedy generation, and that is Paul Merton and Arthur Smith, and two seasoned broadcasters of a previous comedy generation, that is Peter Jones and Clement Freud. Would you please welcome all four of them? Beside me sits Elaine Wigley, who is going to help me with the score, and she will help me with the stopwatch, and also blow a whistle when 60 seconds are up. And as usual, I'm going to ask our four intrepid performers to speak, if they can, on the subject that I give them, and they will try and do that without hesitation, repetition, or deviating from the subject. And this particular edition of Just a Minute is coming from the little library theatre in the centre of the wonderful cultural city of Manchester. And we are part of a festival here in Manchester called Music Live. And in front of us we have a live, animated, Mancunian audience. And so let us get on with the show. And the first subject, very aptly, must be, of course, Manchester. Clement Freud, would you like to start the show with that subject? 60 seconds, starting now.
Manchester is a typically sexist name for a city. But I know that everyone is pleased that New Labour have designated it the capital of Britain to be. In Manchester, there are football teams, a Greyhound stadium with dogs running from traps 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6, wearing jackets which are alternately red, blue, white, black, orange, and striped. You get here by train from Euston. And the extraordinary thing about this conveyance is that on the platform you find women who have virgin written on their hands with no outward sign of that situation. There's a song called On the Road to Manchester, where the flying fishes purr.
Paul Merton has challenged.
Deviation is On the Road to Mandalay, the song.
Different song.
I feel that if Clement can sing it, then we can accept it.
Absolutely.
That's all right.
And as we are part of the music festival, bizarrely, let's...
Clement,
two,
I
three,
think
four.
On the road to Manchester.
Paul, you have a correct challenge. Therefore, you get a point for that. You take over the subject, and there are only 3 seconds left. Manchester starting... Utterly prejudiced already, this audience. 3 seconds, Manchester, starting now.
I remember the song Around Manchester in 80 Days. What a...
Whoever is speaking when the whistle goes gains an extra point in this show, and on this occasion was Paul Merton, who's the only one to have scored any points at the end of the first round. But Paul, will you take the second round? And the subject is... The Red Devils. Tell us something about the Red Devil, Paul. In 60 seconds, if you can, starting now.
Imagine flying through the air at 25,000 feet with a parachute strapped to your back, taking part in an aeronautical display with that famous team of stunt divers, the Red Devils. I was very pleased to jump with them only last weekend. I didn't realise I was doing it at the time, but I'd got on the wrong flight. I was meant to be arriving in Stockholm, and I was rather confused when one of who I took to be a hostess strapped a knapsack to my back, opened the door and said, "Your name."
Peter, you challenged.
He did say strapped twice.
You did say strapped, all right? You were strapped for language there. And, Peter, you have a correct challenge.
Strapped for language?
Yes, because you mustn't repeat words, and therefore you're strapped for it. I mean, it means it's a sort of London expression. It means that you are losing out on the word that you want.
What?
Deviation there, Nicholas.
Peter, you have a correct challenge.
Good.
And you have a point for that, of course, and you take over the subject of the Red Devils. 28 seconds are available, starting now.
I remember when I was a boy, I went to a friend's house, and he had a birthday cake which was covered in white icing, and on top of that was a little red devil. Well, there were several, actually, but the main one was in the middle. They were, I don't know why, the mother or father had done the cake.
Paul, you challenge.
Hesitation?
I think there was a hesitation. Yes, Paul, another point to you. And 8 seconds on the Red Devil starting now.
Of course, this is also the nickname of one of the football teams that plays here in Manchester. I don't...
Clement Freud challenge.
Deviation.
Why?
The football team.
Ingratiating himself with the audience.
No, there must be some Manchester City fans there, surely.
Yes. I tell you what I do, Clement, as the audience enjoyed your challenge, we give you a bonus point for the challenge, but as Paul was interrupted, he gets a point for that. He keeps the subject, and there are 2 seconds left, Paul, starting now.
They play at a ground that's called...
Oh, no, just before it. Arthur Smith, you challenged just before the whistle.
I did challenge with 0.2, a nanosecond remaining. And I was challenging on two grounds. Firstly, because I haven't challenged so far. And secondly, because Paul was about to get the name wrong of the ground that Manchester United play.
He was about to get it wrong. So you're not only a clever writer, you're also a psychic.
I am. I've had a few.
Yes. So what do you think he was going to say?
I think he was going to say Main Road by mistake. And
what were you going to say, Paul?
I was going to say Old Trafford.
That's all right.
I think he knew. So another point to Paul, I'm afraid that's all. And we finish that round, and Paul's in a strong lead, and we move on to the next round, which will be started by Peter Jones. Peter, from the Red Devils to the Blues. Tell us something about them in this game, starting now.
Well, the blues, to me, means that type of music that was invented by the slaves in the southern parts of the United States many years ago, because they had no other means of expressing themselves, no instruments and everything, and they needed also...
Yes, Arthur, you've challenged.
I'm sorry, Nicholas, to wake you up.
I was having a little drink of water. So, Arthur, what was your challenge?
Is it something that you think I was going to say?
No, I was challenging on the grounds you said that was their only form of expression. I believe they could have done poetry. Obviously, there's some very fine slave work in the art department. There's, you know, I think it's a bit unfair to say the only form of expressing yourself.
Arthur, it was a great attempt, but I'm going to give the benefit of the doubt to Peter, say he has another point, keeps the subject, and there are 44 seconds left. The Blues, Peter, starting now.
They were mostly named after streets like Canal and Beale. And then there was the St. Louis Blues.
Clement Challenge.
Repetition of Louis.
Yes. Clement, you have 35 seconds starting now.
I was very fond of talking blues, like down in Harlem at a table for two, there were four of us, me, your big feet, and you. That's all.
Peter Jones challenge.
All I wanted to say.
We paused for a rather long time then.
I stopped.
And we call that hesitation, Peter. You're right. You had the subject back. You had 23 seconds on the blues, starting now.
I heard W.C. Handy, the famous composer of the St. Louis Blues, playing it.
Clement Jones.
Another Louis.
Another...
That was a previous time before I was interrupted.
No, but you sure, Peter, you've been playing the game for 30 years. You can repeat a word in another round, but you can't repeat the word in this round, even though you've spoken before and you've lost the subject.
Usually it's pretty flexible in that.
Clement, another point to you, 15 seconds. The Blues starting now.
Manchester's other football team, that which is in...
Arthur Smith challenge.
I would say that he's about to say... I would say he's about to say something rude about Manchester City. Therefore, I challenge on grounds of ingratiation and deviation.
Well, it's very nice to hear from you, Arthur, but I thought that was rubbish. Clement, you have another point, and you have the Blues still 12 seconds starting now.
They play at Main Road, which is adjacent to Old Trafford, but quite some distance.
And Arthur Smith challenge.
Deviation, it is not adjacent to.
So your knowledge of Manchester comes in very handy.
If you come from London, they are adjacent.
But if you're as knowledgeable about Manchester as Arthur Smith is, you know they're not adjacent. And Arthur, you have a correct challenger point and 6 seconds available for the Blues starting now.
Manchester City are the finest football team in the whole world.
And
what's more,
Peter
they
Jones
can
has challenged
easily...
I'm sorry, Peter, challenge you. Why?
I thought he was going to make a boastful remark.
All right, a point for Peter because we enjoyed the challenge. A point to Arthur because he was interrupted. And he has 1 second to continue, Arthur. The Blues starting now.
Who has won?
Well, at the end of that round, Paul Merton is still in the lead, but now chasing him madly and in equal place second are Clement Freud and Peter Jones. And only 1 point behind them is Arthur Smith. And Arthur, it's your turn to begin. And the subject is the Seven Sisters. Tell us something about those. 60 seconds starting now.
What a fantastic set of birds they were. The Seven Sisters, I met them at a party in Ealing. I was wearing a chenille suit with rubber patches on the arm.
Paul Merton challenge.
That's my suit. When are you going to give it back? I lent him that suit about 4 years ago.
Yeah, but I put the rubber patches on.
Well,
right. A point to Paul. We like the challenge. The subject still with Arthur. Another point to him. He was interrupted. 48 seconds are left. The Seven Sisters, Arthur, starting now.
I was introduced to the first sister. Her name was Ina de Montfort. The second sister, her name was Julia.
Clement Freud challenge.
Repetition of name.
Oh, yes. Her name, yes. Clement, a point to you. 39 seconds available. The Seven Sisters starting now.
The third sister was called Isabella, while the fourth and fifth were respectively Agnes and Gladys. You don't get that name a lot now. Once upon a time, there was a king who had seven daughters. And he decided to let it be known throughout his kingdom that any man who came...
Arthur, your timing is impeccable sometimes. Or embarrassing, whichever way you interpret it. What was your
time? It was an unintentional innuendo. Which are often the best ones, I find. Well, I think he's talking rubbish. I don't think there is deviation. None of that
but
was true.
Even... In 30 years, you can never be penalised in just a minute for talking rubbish. Clement, another point. 16 seconds, the Seven Sisters starting now.
The Seven Sisters Road in London goes due east from Camden Town and reaches Holloway and places even further to the Orient. I use it quite...
Peter Jones challenge.
That's not on the way to the Orient. It's the opposite. The opposite direction. You have to go through Waterloo to get to the Orient.
I think your sense of direction, I will support it, Peter.
Thank
you.
So you
what? Have yourself. It was free. The idea of the Orient, I mean, the Orient covers such a vast area, it doesn't matter which way you go to get to the Orient. No,
but
I think...
not a lot of it to the west, you will go.
No, but...
And I'd said east.
As I've been down the Seven Sisters Road on a few occasions, you don't actually continue going east. It does deviate.
Oh, they still talk about it, Nicholas.
I'm going to give Peter the benefit of the doubt. Sorry,
thank
Seven Sisters for you. 5 seconds are left, Peter, starting now.
It's seven blocks of stone in Cornwall in the middle of a field. And the...
They're moving forward, Clement Freud and Peter Jones, still equal in second place, but now only 1 point behind our leader, Paul Merton, and Arthur Smith is trailing the other, all three of them. And Paul, it's your turn to begin. And the subject is a good rule of thumb. An interesting expression. Can you tell us something about it or talk on it starting now?
In 1887, Tom Thumb was made Emperor of Abyssinia. And he was a benign ruler, and lots of people said this is a very good rule of thumb because he's allowing us to do whatever we like. We can go to the shops whenever we want. We can buy ice cream, chocolate, buckets, windoline. There are no restrictions on the things that we can purchase, which used to be there many years ago under our previous dictator, who was a...
Arthur Smith challenge.
There was an error.
He was going into his flights of fantasy, and it really was such an extravagant...
Flights of fantasy?
Yes.
Every word of that's true.
Arthur, 34 seconds. Tell us something about a rule of thumb starting now.
Never trust a blind squirrel in a sack. My old mother...
The long pause there.
I know.
Well, it was a big laugh, people.
I know.
This wasn't one quite as big as the pause.
So, Peter, I agree with your challenge. You have 27 seconds. You have the subject. A good rule of thumb, starting now.
General Tom Thumb was famous for making the assertion that size doesn't matter. Now, if we go...
Who will challenge you?
Hesitation.
Yes, I'm afraid I do. 18 seconds. A good rule of thumb, back with you, Paul, starting now.
Don't allow a deaf moose to buy a round of drinks. It will take forever to understand the audit. No, no. Three baby shunts.
A Kerman Freud challenge.
Deviation.
Why?
A moose, they.
I thought that they was applying to some other people, not the
didn't.
Moose.
Are there any deaf mooses we can put it to in the audience?
That was telling me. I'm going to give the benefit of the doubt to Paul. Paul, 9 seconds on a good rule of thumb, starting now.
I suppose when you're playing Just a Minute, a very good rule of thumb is to make sure that you can speak for 9 seconds about deviation, hesitation, or...
At the end of that round, Paul Merton, speaking as the whistle went, gained an extra point, and with others, he's now gone ahead again into the lead. Peter Jones, your turn to begin, and the subject is Hard Times. Tell us something about that in this game, starting now.
It's one of the novels of Charles Dickens that I haven't read, so I can't tell you very much about it, really, except that it was, I believe, set in Manchester, and a lot of the people had a very miserable time. Now,
first time on Just a Minute, the summer's actually dried themselves up, isn't it?
No, it wasn't.
Just
funny.
For the sake of the listeners, I should explain that Peter suddenly burst into a fit of giggles. He suddenly burst. But what he said was extremely
Nicholas,
funny. Yes, you travel. Yes.
Giggles can be heard on the radio.
Yeah, I realised that. But I was trying to paint a picture for all those people who are glued to their television sets. They may be in their car.
Radio, Nicholas, it's radio.
I know it is. But I like to throw these things out occasionally to see if everybody's listening. Right. Arthur, I agree with your challenge of hesitation. Hard Times with you. 40 seconds, Arthur, starting now.
Hard Times is the future of Nicholas Parsons' career. Clearly, a man...
Excuse me, there's somebody in the audience who clapped at that. I would... Paul, you challenge.
Hesitation.
No, I didn't think he hesitated. So, one woman's nodding and the rest are all saying...
Right, she's asleep.
Arthur, benefit of the doubt.
Well, a deviation, I don't think you're... Why pick on Nicholas's future?
Oh, you've changed your tune now, have you?
Well, why say his future is full of hard times? That's been his past, his present. Why pick on the future?
It shows you how very fair I am. In spite of what Arthur Smith said, I am going to give him the benefit of the doubt and allow him to continue with 33 seconds left. Hard times, Arthur, starting now.
I once bought a newspaper and accidentally dipped it in cement. And that was...
Paul Merton Talent.
I think he paused to let the booing subside. He was riding the booze.
Paul, you have the subject. 26 seconds. Hard times starting now.
I accidentally dropped a copy of the Daily Telegraph into some very hard cement and it came out and I realised that what I had was a very stiff newspaper. I tried opening it and reading it on the tube, but unfortunately the dust fell out from the pages and fell into this old woman's boots.
Clement Freud challenged.
Two falls.
Yes, he fell. 12 seconds are available for Clement Freud on hard times starting now.
Hard times is when nothing goes very well for you. When the audience fails to laugh, and the people sitting either side of you challenge remorselessly without any good reason.
Clement Clement Freud speaking as the whistle went, gained that extra point, and with others in the round, he's moving forward again. But he's still behind Paul Merton, who's out of the lead just to a head. Then comes Arthur Smith, and then Peter Jones in that order. Clement, your turn to begin. The subject, games. Tell us something about games in 60 seconds, if you can, starting now.
Games is the third person singular of the verb to game or gamble, and it makes no particular difference whether you refer to bridge or craps.
Paul, you challenged.
Stop. In...
Yes, he did stop. 46 seconds, games, with you, Paul, starting now.
Well, of course, Manchester put in a bid for the...
Peter Jones challenge.
He sort of got it very muddled, didn't he?
Yeah, he did, yeah. Would you call that hesitation?
Yes, that would be a good challenge. I think that would be good.
All right, then.
Yes.
I'll let you call it hesitation until you have 43 seconds on games, Peter, starting now.
I've never been very interested in playing games because I'm not good at them. And I remember when I played rugger at school, I was in the second rank of the scrum, and boys in the back.
Arthur Smith challenged.
I think you don't have ranks in rugby, do you? No, but runs.
If you don't
you did
play...
in those days.
Quite right.
Yes.
The officers were at the front.
Sorry? I was going to say that if you don't play the game very often, Arthur, I imagine that you would refer to the second row as the second rank. I mean, Peter said he's not very good at the game.
That's so, right, I did.
Right. So, Peter, you were interrupted, and you're in the second rank of the scrum, and you have 30 seconds to continue on game starting now.
And this great bully behind me used to roll little balls of mud and drop them inside my knickers. And then he used to hit them.
I must explain to the listeners that the applause there was because the passion that was showing in Peter's face there.
Yes, you touched a nerve there.
It was such that I had to stretch across and actually restrain him for a minute so you could hear what Paul Merton's challenge was.
Well, little balls of mud dropped down the knickers. I mean, deviation, surely. In a rugby match.
I think
that's all right, then? Is this the message you're going to give to India and China?
It's all right to give that image because Peter said he did not play the game very often and didn't enjoy it.
The assailant would have been someone in the third rank.
Yes, that's right, behind.
All right, Peter, we're going to let you have the minute. 27 seconds starting now.
Good Lord, what a long time.
yes. Arthur, you're challenged.
I tell you, it was a mercy killing.
Hesitation. All right, so the 17 seconds available for you, Arthur Smith, on games, starting now.
As Paul said, Manchester United put in a big for the game.
Clever point challenge.
Benefit of the doubt? Hesitation?
Yes. No benefit on this occasion. Definite hesitation, Clement. So you now have the games with 10 seconds, starting now.
Manchester made a bid for the Olympic Games of the year 2000, and had it been accepted, in this very city, one would have seen tennis, football...
Right. So at the end of that round, Paul Merton is still in a strong lead, but... only three ahead of Clement Freud, and he's three or four ahead of Peter Jones. No, Arthur Smith, sir. Arthur Smith's just one behind Clement Freud. Peter Jones. You'd be surprised the letters I get about the score. I've always said many times it's their contribution that matters and not the points they make. And it's actually Paul's turn to begin. Paul Merton, the last round. Oh, what a good one to finish on. This could give a bit of fun, couldn't it? Wallies. Will you talk about wallies for 60 seconds, if you can, Paul, starting now?
Well, it's an old Cockney term for, I've forgotten what it is.
Arthur Smith.
Well, you know, it was deviation.
No, wasn't it? Wasn't deviation.
It's just so obvious, you don't need to ask, do you?
Hesitation, right. 58 seconds. Wallys with you, Arthur, starting now.
It was a very fashionable word in the 80s, wallys. It was a word to describe people who were absurd and embarrassing, possibly wearing sandals with socks at the same time. Another usage of it is as a gherkin that sometimes lurks in the bottom of a jar of pickle. We call it that in parts of Somerset, which is where I come from, and frequently like to eat wallys.
Paul Salas.
You're not from Somerset.
Oh, yeah, I am, oh, yeah. Well, as I don't know where you were born, I must say, from the way you speak, I thought it would have been London, so, I think Paul probably knows. We have to go by, it's radio, so that's my justification. It is how you sound, and you sound as if you don't come from Somerset. So, Paul, I give you the benefit of the doubt. 34 seconds. Wallys, starting now.
I remember when I was 14, me and Arthur were walking through Somerset, picking the wallys as they grow in the...
Arthur, challenge.
Well, he challenged me on the grounds that I'm not from Somerset.
I was lying.
Actually, I withdraw the challenge.
I thought they'd say, you never walked through Somerset with Paul Merton, but there we are.
No, I did that.
Right, what an image this creates, walking over the through the Yeovil and all those other places down there.
Walking through the Yeovil?
Yes.
You've got to scrape it off your shoes.
Paul, 29 seconds, wallys, starting now.
I was looking through an old drawer the other day and I found a pair of knickers with loads of mud balls in them and I said, who's these? And somebody said, oh, they're wallys. I wouldn't worry about that. He's been playing rugby. He was in the second rank, you know. I said, well, I thought he walked funny the last time I saw him. And it was an extraordinary...
Arthur, this is a challenge.
I think we've established that they weren't wallys and the pants, they were Peters.
No. They could have been wallys just as well. He could have been in the second rank. Wallys. I mean, you don't know in just a minute. You can have a flight of fantasy, providing you don't hesitate, deviate, or, what's the other one? Or repeat yourself. And he hadn't done either of those. So, Paul, please continue, starting now.
I went to a fun fair recently where I saw the Wall of Death, but amongst the people who frequent and work at such establishments, these things are known as wallys. The motorcyclist will get up a certain amount of speed, he'll be able to go...
So, Paul Merton talking about wallys till the whistle end gained an extra point for doing so and brought the show to a close in fine style. It only now remains for me to give you the final situation amongst these four players. And very close it was, too. Peter Jones just finished in third place because he was only a point or two equal in second place, which is Clement Foyd and Arthur Smith. But they were quite a few points behind the man who gained most, so we call him the winner this week, Paul Merton! So it only remains for me to thank our four fine players of the game, Paul Merton, Arthur Smith, Peter Jones and Clement Freud. I must also thank Elaine Wigley for keeping the score for me and blowing her whistle and also helping with the stopwatch. Ian Messiter we must thank because he thought of the game, and Jobson because she produces and directs it so well and with such skill. And so from all of them and me, Nicholas Parsons, and particularly this audience here at the Library Theatre in Manchester, but particularly all our listeners who've tuned in, be with us the next time we take to the air and play just a minute until then from all of us here. Goodbye!
Next week's Just a Minute comes from the Leicester Comedy Festival.